Hi, and welcome to Pandora's Box. This is Kalia. And today we're going to talk about narcissistic love. One of the most important questions I'm asked is, did the narcissist ever really love me? It can be a difficult question to answer in just a yes or no. It's best to understand the deeper fabric of the narcissistic personality. Narcissists are known for their ability to form quick bonds with people, but also have short-term relationships. And this is due to their inability to form lasting emotional bonds. Their bonds are more intellectual than emotional. A narcissist may like the way you look, dress, or communicate. A narcissist may like what you do for a living, your accomplishments, status, or wealth. In a university study in Poland, it was found that narcissistic people can make a strong initial impact in a social setting. They're initially very well liked and make friends right away. People who are higher on the emotional intelligence spectrum may not make a great initial impression, but are much more likely to form lasting bonds and deeper friendships. Within 3 months in this study, people with a higher emotional intelligence, who are capable of caring, nurturing, emotional availability, and honesty, rose to the top of the popularity, and the narcissist fell in popularity. So to sum it up, narcissists can make great first impressions, but they don't hold up under the test of time. People with strong emotional intelligence, but perhaps not as outgoing or impressive, may not make shiny first impressions, but develop more solid relationships over the course of time. Narcissists may be very intelligent on an intellectual level, but severely lacking in emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence, or EQ, is the capability of individuals to recognize their own and other people's emotions, to discriminate between different feelings and label them appropriately, to use emotional information to guide thinking and behavior, and to manage and/or adjust emotions to adapt environments or achieve one's goals. Emotional intelligence also involves the ability to be vulnerable and accept one's own emotions as healthy and normal. The more vulnerable one is able to be, the more capable of love he or she is. After all, love is a powerful emotion, and to express it from the heart requires vulnerability. Empathy is also a quality of EQ. Empathy is the ability to feel what another person is feeling. It allows us to identify with others and offer true support and understanding. And this is a quality one would possess who is a true friend. True friends can sit with you when you're in pain and hold space for you to feel your way through it. Although a narcissist may have a very high IQ, they're usually very low in EQ. Their ability to empathize, have compassion, and understanding for others is low. They don't tend to identify with others, but instead separate themselves from others by bolstering their own sense of superiority. We need to understand with narcissists, they build themselves up by focusing on their strengths rather than their weaknesses, which is why a narcissist can excel in academics, business, and even social pursuits. Any individual with a disability would compensate for it by increasing their strength in another area. A blind person, for example, would develop super acute hearing to compensate for their lack of sight. A narcissist's ability to excel in an area increases his or her self-opinion or idea of himself as superior. We're often attracted to a narcissist for his superconfidence and intellect. He or she may be very well accomplished in his or her chosen field, but unable to grasp the concept of feelings, especially yours. Narcissists avoid feelings of inadequacy or inferiority through the use of grandiosity. It's his grandiosity that pads him from his own human vulnerability and inadequacy. As humans, we are all inadequate. We all have faults and we all make mistakes. We fail to achieve all of our goals, and where we may excel in some areas, we fall short in others. The more we grasp that we are indeed human and fallible, the more we can accept our own weaknesses and also the weaknesses of others. This ability to accept our own weaknesses and the weaknesses of others helps us to have compassion and empathy for ourselves and others. Narcissists can't accept their own inadequacy, and so they deny it. They deny feelings of inadequacy by blaming and shaming others. They also deny their feelings of inadequacy by focusing on their strengths and projecting their inadequacy onto others. Although focusing on our strengths is a good thing, denying our human fragilities makes us less human and less capable of human connection. Many people tell me that the narcissist in their life appeared to have empathy in the beginning of the relationship. And so they make the mistake of believing that person is empathetic and caring. I found another interesting study that talks about two different types of empathy: cognitive empathy and affective empathy. Cognitive empathy involves the ability to figure out the emotional states of others without being able to feel what they are feeling. Affective empathy involves sharing an emotional reaction in response to others' emotions, which is to be able to feel what one is feeling. Cognitive empathy is a property of IQ, intellectual ability to understand one's emotional state, versus affective empathy, which is a property of EQ, or one's ability to actually feel that emotional state. Narcissists may have cognitive empathy without having affective empathy. They may understand intellectually what it means to grieve a loss, but not actually be able to feel the grief. He may be able to say, "I'm really sorry for your loss," because he intellectually understands this is the right thing to do. And this scores him more points in the area of human connection. A narcissist may also be able to say, "I'm sorry," if he sees that you're upset about something he's done, but is unable to actually understand why you're upset or feel sorry. His apology is more an act of keeping the relationship intact than learning from his mistakes and doing better next time. And this is why narcissists don't seem to learn from their mistakes. They don't actually get their mistakes. Their apologies, if given at all, are superficial. We need to understand that narcissism is formed in early childhood, where one cuts off from his vulnerability because it's too painful. He's actually running from his pain. And his narcissism is his avoidance mechanism. The narcissist becomes so masterful at avoiding pain that he's not developed the muscles of compassion, empathy, and heartfelt emotion. Because a narcissist has invested so much energy in avoiding his own pain and vulnerability, he's learned to see pain as the enemy. And if you invoke pain or feelings of inadequacy in the narcissist, you become the enemy. Narcissistic injury is when a narcissist gets too close to the pain. He's developed sophisticated methods of avoiding. He may react to this pain with hostility, or he may resort to childlike behaviors as if reduced to the age his narcissistic defenses began to form. Narcissists deliver huge blows to your self-esteem because of these narcissistic defenses. If a narcissist can constantly devalue, belittle, and find fault with you, it enforces his own sense of self as superior. This enforces his defense against his own disowned pain and feelings of inadequacy. There was a study done where narcissistic people, in looking at an image of someone who is sad, express positive feelings in reaction to another person's sadness. And this might suggest that the narcissist gets some kind of positive charge when others are in pain. Seeing another in pain might also reinforce the narcissist's idea of himself as being above such feelings. Dark emotions are experienced as weakness through the eyes of the narcissist. If a narcissist can project his disowned pain upon others and witness the other act out his pain, it may have the effect of providing a type of emotional release for the narcissist. Having others act out his repressed pain may be a way for the narcissist to further disown his pain. Although a narcissist can be extremely intelligent, we need to understand that EQ, or emotional intelligence, is extremely low. Therefore, conscious awareness of one's emotional reality and the effect it has on others is also very low. One might ask, does the narcissist understand how much pain he's causing me? Being that a narcissist is dissociated from his own emotional pain, he's also dissociated from yours, meaning he can't empathize with your pain or truly understand the level of damage that he's doing. This is learned behavior and a deeply entrenched coping mechanism. When you're devalued and discarded by a narcissist, you're on the receiving end of a very sophisticated coping mechanism. If you try and have a normal, healthy relationship with a narcissist, you're likely to be discarded because a narcissist is really incapable of having a normal, healthy relationship. Healthy relationships require empathy in both people. If you try and resolve issues by attempting to get the narcissist to see the effect his actions and behavior are having on you, you're asking him to see beyond his carefully constructed reality. And this isn't likely going to happen. The mere suggestion that a narcissist may be doing something wrong would trigger feelings of inadequacy that he's worked very hard to deny in himself. This can provoke narcissistic injury and rage. If you are persistent in trying to get the narcissist to be responsible and accountable for his actions and behavior, you'll likely be seen as high maintenance or emotionally troubled. You may be blamed, shamed, or accused of doing what it is the narcissist is doing, and this is called projection. Narcissistic projection can be crazy-making. You may feel that the narcissist is absolutely impossible to get through to, and yet he may say to you, "You're impossible." Most people who get involved with narcissists have the ability to self-reflect, so they're willing to look at their own behavior and consider its roles and what's going on in the relationship. This actually backfires in a relationship with a narcissist because if you consider the possibility that maybe you are being impossible, unreasonable, jealous, greedy, or any number of things the narcissist is accusing you of, you may begin to feel that you're the problem. You may begin to feel that you're at fault for the problems in the relationship. your own core shame, self-blame, and feelings of inadequacy will likely intensify. You may see the narcissist's confidence and unwillingness to consider his own responsibility for the issues in the relationship. You may see how he can so easily detach and get back to business as usual. You may begin to feel hypersensitive and over-emotional in comparison. Your life may begin to feel unstable, and you may begin to consider that perhaps you really are the problem. After all, you're the one falling apart and clinging to the narcissist for some sense of reality and stability. You may find yourself seeking approval and accepting any crumbs that might suggest that you're doing anything right. You may be looking for validation that you're a good and worthy person in the eyes of one who finds so much fault in you. Often, you're so emotionally weakened by the constant emotional battles, and your weakness is despised by the narcissist. This is when the narcissist is likely to devalue you and discard you in favor of someone who appears to be strong and confident, as perhaps you once did. You need to understand, if this is happening to you, that the narcissist is disgusted with you not for who you are, but for what you're reflecting back to him. You're mirroring to the narcissist the very thing he's disowning in himself. You're mirroring for him the feelings he denies even having. You're expressing the emotional pain, the confusion, and the feelings of inadequacy the narcissist has been projecting onto you. In the end, you may believe these emotions are your own. You may believe that you are the weak one and the narcissist is the strong one. And for most people who witness this dynamic, who don't see the undercurrents of the relationship, they may believe this falsity as well. And this might be because you appear energetically depleted and the narcissist appears relatively unaffected. He moves on to the next relationship without any emotional downtime, and you have a complete emotional crash. So what's wrong with this picture? Did the narcissist ever really love you? But what do you think? Do you really believe someone who is this cut off from his emotional reality is capable of such deep feelings? So why does it seem like love in the beginning? Well, remember when we talked about cognitive empathy. A narcissist has a high ability to manipulate others through his cognitive understanding of their emotional needs. The narcissist's initial pursuit or love bombing may come from his own need to be admired, adored, and seen as perfect. And he'll get a lot of supply from your excitement and anticipation in that relationship. Your emotional energy fuels the narcissist. In the beginning, you're mirroring the narcissist positively. You're showing him how wonderful he is, how important he is to you, how much you care, and how much you love him. You see the good in him and elevate him to the place where he is most comfortable. And this is a refreshing change from the relationship he just left, where he was being reflected very poorly. A narcissist needs to see himself as great and superior, and that requires that he surround himself with people who see him as great and superior. And this is the only way he can enforce his idea of himself. If he surrounded himself with people who found fault with him, asked him to own up to his mistakes, be honest, and emotionally mature, it would be difficult for him to hold on to his idea of himself as great and superior. So he's going to trash those who don't mirror to him his own greatness. And this is why narcissists play musical chairs with their relationships. Narcissists are known for their short-term mating tendencies. People who stay with a narcissist long-term will often deny their own needs and be highly codependent, enabling and supporting the narcissist's idea of himself as superior. Long-term mates of a narcissist agree on some level, even if unconscious, to play the inferior role in the relationship and be the dumping ground for the disowned emotions of the narcissist. There's no love here. It's a psychodrama. It's an arrangement based on need and/or denial of need. The sooner we can realize that this relationship was not one built on any kind of real love, the sooner we can stop taking ownership of the narcissist's repressed emotional reality, take back our power, and move on to a life where we can be truly valued, respected, and loved. I always tell people that self-love is key when recovering from narcissistic abuse. You have to learn to love yourself more than you love the warped, idealistic reality of the narcissist. You have to be able to let go of the idealism and recognize the dysfunctional and destructive dynamic of that relationship. Idealized love is based on the idea that you will forever hold up the perfect mirror for the superior narcissist to look into, and this is impossible. Your inability to hold up the perfect mirror is not your fault, nor does it show any kind of inadequacy or failure on your part. If someone steps on your foot, you'll usually say, ouch, and this is feedback that the person who stepped on your foot hurt you. If that person is angry at you for expressing your pain, whose problem is that? Eventually, you're going to tell the narcissist that his or her actions are hurting you, and your devaluation will soon follow. The message will be, how dare you express dissatisfaction with anything that I do? What's wrong with you? This isn't love. This is a severely warped sense of reality. And the sooner you disengage from that reality and get back to a world that actually makes sense, the sooner you will recover from the damage inflicted on you by the narcissist and live the life that you deserve to have. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.